Our second lesson, our gospel lesson, is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, 32 through 39. That evening at sundown, they brought to Jesus all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Gospel of Mark doesn't mess around. It does not begin with long lineages or even any details of Jesus' birth. Mark simply jumps right in to the heart of Jesus' ministry. In the first chapter, he gives a brief shout out to John the Baptizer, who wore camel's hair and ate locusts and wild honey, or as the VBS kids and leaders experienced this week, John the Baptist in a fur wrap, dirt-tasting roasted crickets and honey sticks. Yes, a few kids and a few leaders ate crickets in VBS. On the heels of Jesus' baptism, he heads into the wilderness for 40 days, calls the disciples, and then, bam, a short 20 verses later, Jesus is healing, preaching, teaching. This morning's passage from Mark 1 tells of the whole city of Capernaum showing up, bringing with them all those who were sick with various diseases, in need of Jesus' healing and the casting out of demons. With that whirlwind of a schedule and an entire town showing up at his door hoping to be cured, it's no wonder that early in the morning, long before sunrise, Jesus sneaks out to find a quiet place to pray. Soon after the disciples track him down, their anxiety rising, "Everyone is searching for you," they exclaim. "The whole town is ready for some more healing." Only Jesus does not plan to stay around in Capernaum and only do healing there. He tells the disciples, "Let us go into the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." Jesus came to declare God's message of love and healing restoration. He knows that is his purpose, and yet he still retreats away for prayer and solitude. From Mark, in the morning while it was still dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Luke is even more pointed when he reflects that Jesus would withdraw to deserted places and pray. Even though it takes time away from what Jesus himself names as his purpose, to proclaim God's message to the people, Jesus still sneaks away to places of solitude to spend time with God in prayer. The psalmist has some idea of the importance of withdrawing to pray. "For God alone, my soul waits in silence." For the psalmist, This time of prayer is a good reminder of God's presence and of the ways that God can be trusted. God is a refuge for us. The psalmist does not simply experience this time with God as a way to escape the difficulties of the world or to gloss over those difficulties. Those are still named in the psalm: extortion, robbery, the false security of wealth. Those are all things that exist and still exist while the psalmist is in God's presence. But the time spent in God's presence puts those difficulties in perspective and increases trust in God. Close friends of ours lost their dog the other night. Facebook posts were shared, thoughts and prayers were expressed, and that sinking feeling any of us have known when a beloved pet wanders off hit everybody who knew the situation. Mo showed up about 2:30 in the morning, dirty and disheveled, like the prodigal son. Thank God. An answered prayer, I first thought. For a couple already maxed out on stress with a new home, starting a new business, and 3 weeks from a wedding. I caught myself. All prayer is answered prayer. Sometimes the answer is yes. Prayer isn't about begging for what we want anyhow, although most of us do this occasionally, even the psalmist. Prayer is about being reminded that no matter what, no matter what it is that we want or whether or not we get that, God is still with us, more dependable than people, our lot in life, our status, our wealth. Prayer is about trusting in God alone, pouring out our hearts to our Creator, and depending upon God's power and steadfast love above all else. Because life is busy. It's exhausting sometimes. Occasionally it's downright excruciating, and it is almost always uncertain. Martin Bell, an Episcopal priest and Michigan native who graduated from Wisconsin's very own Beloit College in the early 1960s, is an eccentric author who has written some of the most pointed short stories illustrating the gospel. You might know him from his well-known story, Barrington Bunny. A new favorite of mine I read recently in Nenshu and the Tiger, Parables of Life and Death. In it, Bell reflects almost ad nauseum on how much he prefers puzzles over games, over card games. Putting together a picture puzzle is a matter of discovery and conclusion. Each puzzle is based upon a pre-designed harmony and order. All that is required of the participant is to work diligently and systematically. There will come a time when everything falls into place, Bell reflects. In contrast is the card game, which consistently brings about one question after another. There are decisions, risks, chances of failure. Card games are frustrating and unnerving. 2 pages of reflection later, Bell concludes, "Oh, I almost forgot. It's your deal." Would that life were a jigsaw puzzle. Who would need to rely on anything other than one's own skill and cleverness? But it's so much more like a card game. Sometimes your cards are magic. Sometimes the losing streak doesn't seem to end. Sometimes your euchre partner is a genius, and sometimes a complete dunderhead, as the Dutch saying goes. And so, with uncertainty and wins and losses, we go back to the source of all strength, trust and healing, our triune God. This past week was VBS, and as you can see from our surfboards up here, our theme this week was water-oriented. Day one, God creates. On Monday, we had a special visit from Creator God, who walked through creation. I called him God Halls. From separating water and dry land all the way to the creation of humans and beyond to the rest that is Sabbath. And it was all good. Sneaking away to deserted places, whether those are gardens in our own backyards or bike paths or walks through the arboretum or hikes along the trails, is a way to restore us in relationship to our Creator. Jesus knew this. He might preach sneaking away to our rooms to pray, but he himself almost always prayed out in creation, on mountainsides, in gardens, in the desert. Day two, God helps. The story was of baby Moses, who God helped through his dedicated mother, his clever sister, and the Pharaoh's daughter. God is our rock and our salvation, our fortress. Spending time in prayer, in solitude with God, reminds us of our trust and hope in a God who helps. Day three, God loves. This was the bug-eating day, when John the Baptist showed up with crickets and honey sticks and the reminder of God's love proclaimed in Jesus. Even as the Holy Spirit descended and God's voice proclaimed from the heavens that Jesus was beloved. It's handy when the VBS themes for the week weave right into the scripture for Sunday, because most certainly prayer helps remind us of God's steadfast love. Day four, God calms. Jesus falls asleep in the boat as it sails across the lake, and up comes a sudden storm. The disciples freak out and start shaking Jesus awake. He stretches out his hand, and as suddenly as it began, the storm calms. There isn't a better metaphor for prayer than the calming of our souls, even in the midst of complete chaos. Paul calls this in Philippians peace that passes understanding. It's what gets us through what seems sometimes impossible. It helps us carry on, or to have a sense that things are okay even when nothing seems okay. We can still have hope. Prayer calms us and helps us, like Jesus, head back out into the world with clarity and connection with God, strengthened for whatever comes next. Prayer isn't begging or wishful thinking or some sort of magic. Prayer is simply stepping away from the clamor and spending time in God's presence. Sometimes that might be with words and the pouring out of one's heart, as the psalmist declares. Sometimes that might be in the silence, feeling our souls being knit back together by the one who knit us together in the first place. Our faith journey is not continual movement. Sometimes it's stopping, pausing, sitting in God's presence, and allowing our souls to grow. Not only for ourselves, but also for the health of those around us, to restore us to be able to proclaim God's love. You may have heard in the news this week about the 75-pound pearl that a Filipino fisherman found 10 years ago and had kept under his bed for good luck. It was his good luck charm. When he moved, he gave it to a relative for safekeeping, which is how it came to be on display now in the Philippines. I'm not sure that that man knew how much luck that pearl gave him, but some are estimating about $300 million worth of luck. The story reverberates with a parable from Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went out and sold all that he had and bought it. Prayer, with the assurance of God's presence and love, the calming of God's peace, and the reminder that God alone is our refuge, is a piece of God's kingdom. Prayer is about setting aside the to-do list and spending time in God's presence. Even Jesus, with truthfully the most important to-do list sort of ever, found deserted places of solitude and prayed. It renewed him for proclaiming God's message and restoring health to those around him. May we practice prayer as individuals, as a congregation, because there are always storms that come up suddenly. There is uncertainty and decisions to be made, and life is so much more like a chancy card game than a picture puzzle. But we are called to Jesus' example of praying so that our trust is restored and our ability to proclaim God's love and healing even in the midst of chaos and brokenness is renewed. For God alone, our soul waits in silence. From God comes our salvation. God alone is our rock, and our salvation our fortress. We shall never, never be shaken. Thanks be to God. Amen.